welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that you've been able to join me today. We're going to continue right on. There's a lot to cover. We were looking at the book of Jonah, and we were attempting to glean some spiritual lessons from this book. And the first one, which is fairly obvious, is the peril of disobedience to the Lord. I really didn't take time to share much of chapter 1, but just by way of a recap, the word of the Lord came to Jonah to go to Nineveh to cry against it because they were a very wicked city. And instead of obeying, he fled from the presence of the Lord, heading to Tarshish, which is in southwest Spain. So in verse 4, it says, "The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast for the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and he was fast asleep." So the shipmaster, I'm going to just paraphrase verse 6, he says, "What are you doing? Don't you think you might pray to see that we won't perish? Call upon your God." And they said, "Everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? Of what people art thou?" And then as we looked at this just briefly yesterday, we see that he was a godly man. He says, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And he's being truthful. They were exceedingly afraid because it says he had told them he'd fled from the presence of the Lord. He had told them, verse 10 concludes by saying that. And in verse 11, the word says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." He was courageous. He was willing to accept his punishment. He was manly. He didn't want to have innocent men perish because of his disobedience. And so he was being fairly noble. He said, "It's my fault, and just get rid of me." But also we see his prophetic gift speaking forth, because he declares that the sea will then be calm. So let's read on. Verse 13, "Nevertheless, and they were compassionate, kind men." You could see God was dealing with them. "They rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord." You see, they become aware and begin to establish a relationship with the living God. They're praying to Jonah's God. They say, "O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and just as he said, the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Here we see a classic example of how God can use our disobedience. He can use our mistakes, the things we really mess up, and He is able to turn it about for good. In this case, He spared the life of Jonah and was going to be dealing with him for 3 days and 3 nights while he had his attention in the belly of a whale. But also, just look at the heathen mariners and sailors, those who were with him, had an experience with a living God, and they, as a result, I mean, that was very much a sign. He was honest, he was noble, he said, cast me overboard, and his word was fulfilled. The sea became calm, and they prayed to the Lord, they made vows. So we see that their lives were forever changed because of that encounter with the disobedient prophet. So what we were looking at as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close were not only the lessons to be learned, not only the perils of disobedience, but that God will use, does use, continues to use this imperfect vessel as channels of truth. We see that Jonah was godly, he was truthful, he was courageous. And we see in that second chapter, he has a real anointing of prayer. He's prayerful. And we see that through that entire chapter. He's praying unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet. Do you feel that way at times? You might be feeling that way right now, but listen to what Jonah said. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. In verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Beloved, you might be feeling fainting, you might feel overwhelmed. When my spirit is overwhelmed within me, the psalmist declared, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so even if the trials we go through are the result of our own disobedience, our own stiff-neckedness, our own stubbornness, our rebellion, our weakness, whatever it might be, God is such a loving God. We see that even though God was very clear and specific, asking Jonah to do a hard thing, yet he didn't destroy him, but his mercy was extended to him. And so we see that God, we could be encouraged that if the prophet of the Lord can do this, look at the great Elijah. I mean, he called down fire out of heaven. He killed over 300 Baal prophets. When he prayed, it didn't rain for 3 years in the land of Israel. And yet he goes and runs and hides for his life when Jezebel threatens to kill him. And it says in the scripture, Elijah was a man of like passions as we. So brothers and sisters, we are all imperfect. We're in the process of reaching and attaining perfection in Jesus. Yet, God cannot wait till we're perfect. He wants us to be used just as we are and declare His truth. So be encouragement. So we see he was very prayerful in the second chapter. And in chapter 3, he is obedient. And then we find that he does deliver the message as was first instructed. But we see that he's self-willed. We're looking at his strong points and his good points and his bad points. He was self-willed. What did he do when God told him to do, you know, go to Nineveh? He went in the opposite direction. He was bigoted and selfish. Listen to chapter 4, verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry when they repented. He was unforgiving. He was unmerciful. And we see in verses 2 and 3, of chapter 4, he said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, because of that, I fled before thee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live. Well, he was a hard nut, was he not? He was jealous of his prophetic reputation. I mean, he was prideful. He was not a good representative of God. He was obeying the Lord, but he needed to learn God's heart of love and mercy. And that brings me to the third point, the spiritual lessons that we need to learn, is that even though we ourselves may fail, and we're dealing with others, other relationships in our lives, people that may be unsaved, yet we have to know God's heart toward them is of love and of mercy. His love is tremendous. In fact, that's the entire theme of the book. that shows us that the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews, has concern for the whole world. This is the most wicked nation upon the face of the earth. And even in this world, this trouble-torn world we're living in right now, he hates those involved in radical Islam, those that are killing Christians and being unmerciful and subjecting torture and death and all sorts of hideous things to those who stand in their way. Yeah, God loves them, and we're to pray for them and know as we do that, God will be faithful to somehow reach them with the gospel, even if it takes supernatural appearances, which I understand he's doing in a great many of the Muslim countries because the gospel is not able to be freely preached there. So this is the entire theme of the entire book, God's love and mercy. And so we want to look in detail at this fourth chapter that deals with God's mercy to sinners as well as his dealings with his servant. And that was, of course, Jonah. And for our sake, we need to learn similar lessons. It's interesting to note that the chastening of the Lord after the time of the Lord's first call and Jonah's subsequent rebellion, while it was unpleasant, certainly, it delivered him from death. And so as we look at this fourth chapter, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, that first verse says. And we find there's a great difference between obedience and sympathy, being in a right spirit. You know, sometimes as parents, they have to force one child to obey while another delights to do whatever the parent asks. Remember that scripture in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 28 through 31, the prodigal son, the elder brother is in the parable in Luke 15. He'd been obedient, but he had no sympathy with the father in making such ado over the returning prodigal, that there was celebration, there was joy, and he wasn't partaking of it. So we need to learn that as well, and I'm seeing my time has just flown by, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Seems like we just get started, and I have to bring it to an end. But I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we'll continue right on. And I pray that the Lord will help us all learn these very important lessons to understand the very nature of his heart, not to be as the unwilling prophet, as Jonah, who was upset at God's love and mercy to his enemies. Thank you so much for joining me today. The announcer will give our contact information, won't you write? I'd love to hear from you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. They may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.